Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Welcome to Let's Talk Business right here on VOB 92.9 FM. I am Crystal J. Paul, your host for today, and it is my pleasure to have today our speakers, our panelists, James Jimmy Clark, president of the BCCI.
Thank you, Crystal J. Thank you for having us.
And we also have Christopher Zambrano, chair of the Economic Advisory Committee of BCCI. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yes, yes, gentlemen. Now, of course, at the beginning of 2025, everyone has a plan, everyone has strategies they want to put in place. So it is very fitting for us to have this first program, this first show for 2025, dubbed the Economic Outlook for Barbados 2025. So I'm sure all ears will be even more glued to this program as we're looking at this particular topic. As Barbados moves into 2025, the country's economic trajectory is at a critical juncture, with significant challenges such as global inflationary pressures, rising cost of goods, and the ongoing digital transformation of industries. The economic outlook remains a hot topic. The private sector, represented by the BCCI, plays a pivotal role in shaping economic policies and strategies. In this episode, the discussion will focus on key drivers of economic growth for Barbados in 2025, opportunities for business innovation and investment, challenges such as debt management, inflation, and international trade uncertainties, and recommendations from the Economic Advisory Committee to ensure resilience and competitiveness. We hope that our audience will leave with a clear understanding as you listen to us right here inside this edition. And we look into the projected economic landscape for 2025. What is in store? So, gentlemen, let's get right into it. Now, I know, Christopher, you'll be definitely giving us quite a bit of insight today. We're going to be looking first at the 2025 economic projections. Now, Barbados is expected to grow by 2.8% in 2025, following a 3.9% expansion in 2024. What factors would you say are driving this growth projection?
Well, as we start 2025, I think I personally am quite excited by what is in front of us. Our Minister of Tourism has done a good job in terms of adding airlift to the destination. So they have, the Ministry of Tourism has negotiated additional airlift. So tourism arrivals are up. While tourism is 20% of the economy, it earns about 80% of our foreign exchange earnings. International reserves are high, at an all-time high, or strong $3 billion, roughly about 29, 30 weeks of import cover. Our NIS claims, the unemployment claims, are down compared to prior year, which is also a good sign. And the state has met all its fiscal targets with the IMF in terms of revenue expenditure and the current account balance. And then when we turn to the banking sector, we saw that they had loan growth in the amount of about 4%, which sounds moderate, but that was compared to declining growth in loan book prior to that. So, there are a lot of positive signs out there as we move into 2025, mm-hmm. and a significant activity occurring in the island, both in terms of the tourism arrivals, but there's the villa market with a lot of construction going on there. There are a couple of new brands coming into the island, so again, investments there. And then there's also a shift in terms of our tourism products as people look, these welcome stampers look to do remote working, and then there's a shift of villas and shared accommodation in addition to our traditional tourism stocks. All of that, with tourism being a despair, is then driving a lot of trickle down throughout the economy. So we are quite excited. Obviously, there's things to look out for. As we are all aware, Trump has just come into office. It's very uncertain what he would do. He has a disruptive, I guess, philosophy, not necessarily bad for the US, but obviously that lends to a lot of uncertainty for the others that are around the US. Obviously, we still have all the other geopolitical things that are happening in terms of Russia and Ukraine. And in addition to that, Trudeau has just resigned as the premier of or the PM of Canada. That's a big
Yes.
trading partner. And again, that is going to lead possibly to a big shift away from the liberals to the conservatives. So we have a bit of uncertainty that's facing us as well, but certainly starting with a lot of positive.
Fantastic. Jimmy, would you like to contribute to this?
Sure, Krista J. There are a lot of those things that are contributing very well. And the growth, I mean, the nearly 4% growth is certainly excellent, and certainly the country to and everybody involved to be lauded for that level of growth. One of the key issues, of course, is can it be maintained? And we have to, while things are very positive, as Chris alluded to or said, there are numerous global headwinds, geopolitical issues, and so on, which can be very destabilizing in global markets. And one thing markets don't really like is uncertainty. So, we are at least going into this year, very buoyant, and but it remains to be seen how we actually perform throughout the year. And I hope that we continue to do very well, and certainly all indicators are pointing in that direction. And so we're cautiously optimistic, shall we say, that we will have a good year.
Right. Well, Christopher, you mentioned the welcome stamp, and that would have been introduced a number of years ago, and we're seeing that people are still taking advantage of it. We know that we're in the tourist season. We're seeing quite a, good number of tourists on the island. Now, tourism remains pivotal, but we're also seeing growth in construction and business services. Which sectors do you see contributing to GDP growth in 2025?
Yeah, so I mean, as we move, I mean, the tourism product is transforming. I think there's significant investment in that villa market in particular. If we look at the likes of Ipsil and Royal Westmoreland and a number of other developments around the island, so we certainly see a shift in the inventory of accommodation. And then there's a lot of knock-on effect to all the service providers there. So it's certainly in construction. Certainly we also see a need for a lot of ancillary products in terms of I guess attractions. So when these visitors come to our shores and stay here, obviously they want to not only be at the beach, but they want to have a great meal, have great experiences. If it's through a good show, or going to some the likes of a Animal Flower Cave or Hunt's Gardens and things like that. So I certainly see, and I certainly that's a trend. A lot of our visitors are into experiences. They want to get outside of the traditional all-inclusive resort and get out and really experience Barbados. So certainly, I think there is growth there as we change our product, and as more visitors want to experience more of Barbados and experience things other than outside of the traditional sun, sea, and the restaurants in the hotels. So certainly see the growth coming from those other ancillary areas, and then the knock-on impact to that, because all these villas have to be insured. They employ people, and employ chefs. All the supporting services and so forth. So we certainly see, I guess, a greater spread in terms of its impact in terms of employment and all the supporting sectors around that. In addition to that, I also, I mean, obviously, there's been a trend in terms of our technology, and everything now in terms of interface has to be digitized. From the banking and that interface to book and the product and how you interface with our clients and the whole client experience. I do think there's also a lot of technology and services that will need to come around that. And as we have to compete on a global scale, obviously, to be more competitive globally, we have to be a lot more digital and a lot more savvy in terms of what we offer. So I see, those investments coming there. And then in terms of what the state needs to do to provide infrastructure for all of this, you also see, a need for that as well, from the port to the airport to our roads, et cetera. Obviously, there's continued investment that needs to occur as we, try to seek to improve our infrastructure to support business and the society at large.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we also have big gatherings, so there'll be other benefits relating to that as well. You mentioned the chefs and the different aspects as well. Thank you so much. Now, with inflation expected to stabilize at 1.9% in 2025, down from 5% in 2023, what does this mean for the business community and consumers? I will put that over to you, Jimmy.
Sure. Well, having lived through a period of high inflation, I think we've all seen the impact and certainly felt it in our pockets. And so seeing inflation drop to a low level like that is certainly very welcome. I think once that continues throughout the year, hopefully we'll see a settling down of prices and so on, or at least minimal increases, if at all. And I think that's obviously going to be very helpful. Because honestly, in a situation where we have inflation, just is if it's rampant, it just causes a spiral that really is it makes it very difficult to operate and live in. So it's something that we are really hopeful that it will be maintained throughout the year.
Indeed, indeed. Do you want to add to that, Christopher?
Sure. I mean, I think obviously we had high inflation through COVID, and that has decelerated a bit, quite significantly. But it doesn't mean that, the prices are still high. I don't know if prices will come down, but it does mean that if wages or revenues didn't keep up, there was a tightening of margins and there was a reduction in purchasing power of consumers. Obviously, they would have, would have sought to try and get wage increases and so forth. So there was a tightening, but definitely, hopefully, with this reduction and things normalizing, people can plan a little better and hopefully even try to get some relief in terms of being able to get some of their purchasing power back and some of those margins back. But definitely, what we need is stability, and to the extent there's stability, hopefully this inflationary pressure will be under control, and to the extent that the supply chain is stable, then hopefully, shipping costs and those things are not going to have a big knock-on impact. So yeah, the abatement is definitely welcome, but obviously it did have some consequences in terms of margins and purchasing power.
Yes. Well, speaking of margins and purchasing power, we look at even what is happening globally. Now, how are the global challenges like inflation and supply chain disruptions influencing Barbados's economic trajectory?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, that is something that I would say we had to adapt to over the last few years. And I think we dealt with these challenges. It wasn't easy, but we've dealt with it. And I guess what we have also had to do is look at alternatives in terms of how we could mitigate some of the supply chain disruptions, alternative supply chains, alternative suppliers, also maybe just having great inventory in on island, which does add to your investment and inventory costs. So it does increase the capital that needs to be outlaid and the cost of that capital. But I think a number of our businesses have found ways to deal with that. And I know by policy, the government of Barbados was also trying to encourage greater collaboration regionally, greater collaboration with our with the African Union, and we saw the likes of African Exim coming here. So I guess we had greater South-South collaboration to try and create I guess collaborations or partnerships with friends who are in a similar situation to help manage some of these disruptions. It's not quite there yet, but certainly we saw a lot of initiatives, where we are looking to try and collaborate and mitigate the impact by working together with others.
Right, thank you. Jimmy, would you like to add to that?
Sure. I think if anything, the last couple of years have shown us is the how easily our supply chains are disrupted. And for a variety of reasons, whether it be climate factors, geopolitical reasons, so climate factors like the Panama Canal, for example, geopolitical like Suez Canal. They've had labor strikes on East Coast ports in the United States. They had labor strikes as close as Trinidad in their ports. And we've seen the impact of what this does to our supply chains, our traditional supply chain, should I say. And one thing that is for sure, as Chris said, we have to have multiple sources of products from very different parts of the world, because many things can change. And of course, one thing that is of serious concern that we all must be very, very aware of is the increasing intensity and severity of severe weather events, whether that would be near to us, say in the form of hurricanes, excess heat, flooding, and fires, as you can see in the US. I mean, all of these things. So we may say, well, it's not happening in our doorstep, but we may get this product from a particular part of the world that's undergoing some other severe weather events, which causes serious shortages. So this is why, we really have to look at this very, very, very carefully. And this is why we need to have, as Chris said, maybe extra inventory. And as the government has been working on larger stocks of food in Barbados or even regionally, things that we can put our hands on pretty quickly. And I don't want to sound doom and gloom about all this, but this is, given what we've seen in the last couple of years, I think it's prudent to make sure that we have that kind of backup.
Right, thank you. Well, you brought it back home, so let's keep it at home here, and Jimmy. Now, the private sector is key to addressing Barbados's economic challenges. How is the BCCI encouraging businesses to innovate and invest?
One of the main areas that the chamber is working on, and that is the area of digital transformation. I think there's that is one part of it, doing business, or one what should I say, strategy and technology adoption and so on, which can have extreme causing much better improvements here, efficiencies. And so on and so forth, and maybe help with the ease of doing business, as we've seen it from government, say like they're the more e-government, the easier it is to deal with different departments. And then when businesses are digitized, it's easier then to deal inter-business and with customers and so on. Can provide different levels of service, and with a level of reliability, and certainly with the artificial intelligence layered in on top. And certainly a level of processing and insight, which hitherto may not have been so easily accessible. So this is something that we are very, very keen on. The other area, of course, is energy, renewable energy, energy efficiency, these types of things. And these are obviously very critical. The RE, the RE industry is stalled until we get or partially stalled until we get the large utility-grade battery systems. However, the residential installations still seem to be progressing with their own. People are buying their own batteries rather than waiting on the utility grade ones. So that industry is still moving. And certainly efficiency is another one. If you can save electricity, then why not? Or other forms of energy, gasoline, diesel, natural gas. So we look for ways with our members to show them ways in which they can improve their businesses by adopting these efficiency technologies, which help improve their efficiencies of operation.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Now, this for either of you gentlemen. Continuing with the role of the BCCI, what role does it play in fostering public-private partnerships to enhance economic growth?
Well, you know, I think the BCCI has a track record of seeking to collaborate with the government of Barbados. Specifically, you know, there are a number of things that we've done together with them to try seek to advocate for the ease of doing business. So there's been an effort to have a lot of partnership and collaboration with the government of Barbados. Certainly, we would seek to advocate, you know, amongst our members to look to mobilize capital that will take advantage of any public-private partnerships that are put out there by the government of Barbados. But I think our biggest role really is to ensure that there's the right environment that will allow for successful partnerships, whether it's the ease of doing business or advocating or providing input to the policymakers in terms of what would create that, and also in terms of advocating amongst our members to, you know, show them the opportunities and encourage sharing in terms of sharing across geography, because we also do a number of things with other chambers of commerce's elsewhere in terms of, you know, also bringing partners to bear from outside together with our members, as well as sharing within the business community, within our members, in terms of best practices. I don't know if Jimmy wants to add anything to that, but that's what I would have seen as our role.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think these are their opportunities for growth and development for the country as a whole by putting everybody's heads together and resources, and so that we can basically leverage, multiply them out to get a much bigger result than we could do any one person or entity on their own.
Okay. Well, you mentioned again the public-private partnerships. Now, are there any specific public-private partnerships or projects in the pipeline that excite you for 2025? Jimmy?
Are you going to refer this one to Chris? Chris is closer to this one.
All right, no.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, I mean, I think really, obviously, this is really driven by the government's policy, right? Because these would be, by definition, state projects, either for infrastructure or delivery of services that they choose to partner with the private sector to deliver. You know, there was some talk of a PPP for the airport, and I'm not sure where that has ended at this point, but certainly, you know, something like that could be quite exciting. I mean, tourism is our lifeblood. As I said, 20% of the economy, 80% of our foreign exchange. I mean, I think there are good things happening there with respect to some of the changes that were made in terms of how our visitors experience when they have to clear immigration and go through that. So, you know, they've done quite a bit, but there's also a need, I guess, to, you know, take our airport to the next level. And there was some talk of a PPP there. So that could be exciting. I mean, I don't know where that has left off. And then there are others. I think, you know, maybe I'll go focus on attractions now, because I did indicate in terms of our changing tourism landscape, you know, we have a lot more people coming for experiences. And what the government had done with Harrison Cave, with their joint venture with Chukka out of Jamaica, where that was, you know, put on a concession, and, you know, a number of investments were made to really change the experience there and lift that product. I think if we can do more of that, you know, so that we can provide quality attractions and experiences to our visitors to really enhance our brand Barbados and really enhance the visitors' experience. Things like that to me would be quite exciting if we can, you know, do more for joint ventures like that to provide quality experiences to our visitors.
Yes, thank you. Well, even in so mentioning We know that a number of plans are made, but there are disruptions, and you would have mentioned environmental issues earlier in the discussion. But so how can businesses prepare for future economic or environmental disruptions while still maintaining profitability?
Yeah, well, building resilience, is really important. I mean, obviously, COVID was the shock of a century, in terms of a disruption. And I think that was an experience that taught many businesses how to survive with such a shock. I mean, I think a lot of people or a lot of businesses moved to technology, and remote working, and also needed to build into their business model flexibility to be able to pivot significantly. So ultimately, in terms of dealing with this disruptions while maintaining profitability, while it is not simple, I think we certainly learned the lessons through that experience that it can be done. So it really is about building in that resiliency into your business model, if it's flexibility in your workforce, through remote working, or through the ability to move your workforce up and down with contract workers, or in terms of climate, building a lot of resiliency into your infrastructure to handle things like volcanic ash or rising sea levels. I think we now have to obviously factor that in. There was a lot of incentives that were provided for things like generators and water supply and so forth. So all these were fairly important. But the main thing I guess we've learned is we have to be very flexible, and we have to be able to pivot on technology. And I guess flexible work arrangements were definitely part of that, and business partnerships and alternative supplies, as we saw with the supply chain, and an ability to do that, and regional partnerships are not necessarily looking to the typical South-North trade, but these South-South trades, as we're trying to do to foster our relationships with places like Africa and South America, are things that we have to look at in terms of building sustainability. And then obviously we have the ESG initiatives, and building all these sustainability practices into our business, which is also very important now, and it's taken on a renewed priority in our plans.
Okay, thank you. Well, as we wind down the program, let us look at some opportunities, because we definitely want to end on a really high note. And let us look at the economic opportunities. Tourism, renewable energy, and technology, they are definitely promising areas for growth. Which opportunities do you see as the most transformative for Barbados in 2025?
So this is an interesting one. I mean, I think these things, all three of them, can come together. I mean, certainly on the let me start with tourism. On the tourism side, I think it's not business as usual. I mean, you have to trends are changing in tourism. We have a new generation of visitors, and there's a twinning of technology and artificial intelligence and data analytics, and our visitors are looking for those experiences. So what I qu find quite exciting is how the landscape is changing, where we have this much bigger product in terms of tourism. So it's no longer just a traditional all-inclusive resort or hotel. They want to come stay at a villa, experience our communities. Really experience, not just our food, but our culture, and all these good things, and do it so, and do it in a smart way in terms of technology. So I see a lot happening there, and as we're seeing, there's a lot of investment going on there. But in terms of our energy transition, renewable energy is also quite exciting. I think a huge I guess it was hydrogen generation facility was just approved. If we truly get that sort of transformation going in terms of our energy transition, that could be extremely transformative. I think Barbados is already a leader in the Caribbean in terms of renewable energy and the investments we're making there. And if we can go to the next level, That would be fantastic. Obviously, we have a lot of policy things that we need to get right to do it responsibly, and to ensure that our energy provider can do it in a financially sustainable way that is light and power. But definitely, I guess, you know, if I had to choose one, if we could really onboard and use technology and artificial intelligence and every, you know, in what we do in terms of our tourism product, in terms of our services to citizens, in terms of, you know, our business services. And I think that really has a lot of promise for transformation. So adopting technology, adopting artificial intelligence, data analytics into all our business practices, I think could be truly transformative for us.
All right. Thank you. Jimmy?
Sure. Just to follow on from what Chris was saying, I think the opportunities in there as well, and not just for businesses with AI and with digital transformation, these various areas. These are some non-traditional business areas that people, that Barbados can get involved in. And the whole idea with them is that it takes away some of the tasks that, you know, were maybe boring or redundant and, you know, not so fun to do. And the machines do these things for you, and that frees you up to do things that are more value added to your career, to your business, and so on. And I think the opportunities, especially for young people coming along, is, you know, they have a whole gamut of new career options and career fields to look at that maybe were not quite the same 5 years ago. And so this is actually really exciting and really interesting, because the pace at which AI is going to change, as we already see that the models for ChatGPT are working, they're even more advanced than they were before, that this is really, really accelerating. So there's all these different areas to get involved in business for yourself or with somebody else. And so I think, you know, for the people of Barbados, I think this is a really dynamic and interesting time to look at all these new areas of technology, you know, same energy, computing, climate science, you name it, any of those areas, even finance and so on, you know, are really, really, there's so much change happening that I think it's all well worth looking at. And I think it bodes very well for the future.
All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen. And that's a wrap for today's edition of Let's Talk Business. As we delved into the topic, the economic outlook for Barbados 2025, we would have discussed 2025 economic projections, private sector's role on economic development, resilience and sustainability strategies, and economic opportunities. Thank you so much, James. Jimmy Clark, president of BCCI. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Thanks for having us.
And Christopher Zambrano, Chair, Economic Advisory Committee of the BCCI.
Thank you very much.
All right. Wishing you, gentlemen, a wonderful year. I am Crystal J. Paul. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next time for Let's Talk Business. That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.